It's time for your favorite episode of the week and mine, Twitter Tuesday, here on Locked On Vols. And to my calculations, we got 19 questions / comments that we're going to get into here for the next 30 minutes here on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Vols. It's your team every single day. Today is a Twitter Tuesday, and I lie. We have 20 to get into, and we're going to get started here in just one moment. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. I am your host, Eric Kane. You can find me on Twitter at _Kaner. You can find this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Vols. I tweet out the link to this podcast each and every day a couple of times, so give me a follow on either account, and you won't miss anything that we will be talking about throughout the week. Guys, I'm a radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee at 99.1 The Sports Animal. It's the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. I also write for the VolQuest.com website that is Rivals, covering Tennessee football and Tennessee football recruiting. So before we get into Twitter Tuesday, I want to run by just a couple of notes here on a Monday. Mondays are always busy, busy days, so let's reflect on what happened yesterday. Hendon Hooker, the SEC Offensive Player of the Week, 15-20, 316 yards and 4 touchdowns. That will get it done. So very efficient. 4th in the nation in quarterback efficiency or quarterback rating, whichever one you want to call it, at 190.0. Who's number 3 in the nation in quarterback efficiency? That would be Stetson Bennett, the opponent for Tennessee, quarterback of Georgia. He is at 197.0. So I found that interesting, another little storyline entering this week. But of course, Hendon Hooker is the SEC Offensive Player of the Week. Cade Mays is the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. So that's really, really neat. Of course, Tennessee racked up 461 yards of total offense, scored 38 offensive points, and only possessed the football for a little over 13 minutes. That's getting it done up front, and Cade Mays obviously the leader of that bunch. Morvin Joseph, an edge player, linebacker, a little bit of everything. Tennessee could never really figure out what they wanted from him on either staff, Jeremy Pruitt or Josh Heupel. Morvin Joseph, a sophomore, he has announced that he is entering the transfer portal. I just think that, again, he was out of place. I don't think no one really knew what to quite do with him. I still think he was young and raw. He's got some ability. I just don't think that he was ready to contribute, and it obviously looks like he's going to be looking for another opportunity. So it's not like Tennessee was playing him anyway. He was getting reps at inside linebacker, but hasn't seen any time this season there. But Morvin Joseph has entered the transfer portal. And we have the start time announced earlier on Monday for the University of South Alabama game. That's going to be next week, and it's going to be a 7:30 kick on ESPNU. So you got to love those non-conference late-night kicks. That's going to be an absolute bloodbath in favor of Tennessee. That will be at 7:30 on ESPNU. Don't forget, Tennessee basketball does open up later tonight. Number 18 Tennessee will play host to UT Martin. That game will be at 7 o'clock. I will likely wait until I record a Wednesday show until after the game so we can recap and reflect on what should be a big Tennessee basketball season opening win. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. We've got 20 to get into here on Locked On Vols. First one's going to be from Garrett. Garrett says, my bold prediction for Saturday is that Tennessee puts up more points on Georgia than anyone else has this season. What say you? Yeah, that's been an interesting point of talking here in the early week, and I would agree. No one has scored 14 points on Georgia yet this season. You had South Carolina and Kentucky that scored 13. Clemson only got 3. Georgia had shut out 2 opponents, that being Vanderbilt and Arkansas, which is really impressive, 2 SEC opponents. Auburn put up 10, Florida put up 7, Missouri put up 6. So, I would agree. I think Tennessee can put up at least 2 touchdowns. Now, I think it's going to be somewhere between 14 and 20. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I know that there's a lot to like about this Tennessee offense. It's certainly capable of scoring on anybody. Put up, 24 against Alabama? And, you know, Alabama is not your prototypical Alabama defensive team, but it's still really good. I think Tennessee has the opportunity to score on this Georgia defense, but as we'll get into throughout the week, guys, and more so tomorrow, I promise you this Georgia defense is the best in the country, and it's by a country mile in terms of the SEC. Washington also has a really good defense, but Washington's not playing the likes of what Georgia plays week in and week out. So, nonetheless, it is. I would agree. I do believe that Tennessee can put up more points on Georgia's defense than anybody so far this season has. That is just talking two touchdowns. And the reason I say that is because if you remember back against Alabama when Tennessee's run game was just completely shut out, it still created, couldn't do anything on third down, still created and found a way to get in the end zone a couple of times. So that's why I'm confident there. I think Tennessee anywhere from 14 to 20, but I wouldn't go much past that whatsoever. We will move on and we'll go to the Locked On Vols DMs. I appreciate you guys for chiming in there. Brandon Head, Twitter Tuesday. How healthy is Elijah Simmons? He adds a noticeable boost to the defensive line when on the field. He doesn't always make the tackle, but he takes up two blockers every snap, which allows Byron Young and Tyler Barron to get free on inside stunts. Yeah, Elijah Simmons is a good player. You'd like for him to be about 20 pounds down. That way he can maybe stay on the field a little bit longer. But Elijah Simmons is a good player. He's got great explosive. He has a great explosion off the line of scrimmage. He uses his hands. And that's something the defensive line, especially when I was really on the Walter Nolan beat earlier this season when I went and saw Walter Nolan play about five times. I've seen Walter Nolan of the 11 high school football games he's played this year. I think I've seen Walter play six times. Something with him is he has great use of his hands, and that's something that is critical for a defensive lineman. Of course, I don't mean to rub salt in the wounds. Walter Nolan did commit to Texas A&M, but as I said all along, I would wait till the very end. I mean, I'm not saying it's trending Tennessee whatsoever. He did commit to A&M, but that roller coaster has been up, down the entire time. But Elijah Simmons uses his hands very, very well. And I would agree. He does add a boost. He helps with the rotation on the defensive line. I don't think he's 100%, but obviously he's getting back and healthy enough to play. He played quite a few snaps the other night, and hopefully that's here to stay. We'll move on to Bruce on the loose. Why do I feel like last week's win feels more like a loss? I get our defense didn't play well and that the time of possession was very lopsided. It just seems that the narrative of the time of possession and bad defense is more so than how we beat a top 25 team. Yeah, again, you guys know my stance on time of possession, okay? Tennessee will never, ever win the time of possession ever with Josh Heupel here as head coach, okay? Just not going to happen. The only chance you have is playing a team like Ole Miss, and Tennessee did not win the time of possession against Ole Miss this year. Now, do you want it to be incredibly lopsided the way it was, 13 minutes to 46 minutes? No, you do not, okay? You really, really don't. But it's hard to complain when Tennessee is scoring touchdowns on drives of 11 seconds and 26 seconds. Those are the first two drives. Josh Heupel talked about it a little bit postgame. You want to really run the football to aid in that, to help in that. But again, it's so hard to complain or to try to be critical when Tennessee is scoring touchdowns. And that was the case against Kentucky. Now, it puts your defense in a bind. You guys know I don't like up-tempo offenses because call me whatever, call me 1990s, call me Jeremy Pruitt, whatever you want, I don't care. I believe in not protecting your defense, but playing complementary football, helping your defense out. I mean, it does no good when they're on the field for 102 snaps, 99 snaps, 93 snaps. So those are the last three games. Kentucky was an anomaly because that's not happened ever in the history of Mark Stoops. But it is what it is. So really try to run the football to aid in that. It took a while for Tennessee to get that going, really up until the fourth quarter or second half at least. I would say I don't feel like it feels like a loss. The messages I've been getting, the callers on the radio station, the DMs, I mean, people are jacked up. People are pumped. Defense certainly is alarming. I'm not going to dismiss that. There's a lot to correct there because it was just abysmal, in my opinion. But I still feel like it was a fun win, and it was a good win for Tennessee, the first win over a ranked opponent for Josh Heupel. So, people are going to be critical. I'm not going to be too critical. I mean, I will be critical of the defense, but I'm certainly more impressed with what Tennessee did offensively, Hendon Hooker, and what Tennessee did to get that win than how bad the defense played and how bad Tennessee was in terms of time of possession. We will shift gears now. We will go to my Facebook page. That is at Kaner on Air. Got two messages here, and then we will hit the reset. We've got from Matthew Wood. I know you're big on recruiting, so with our current quarterback situation, and in my opinion, I think Joe Milton transfers. Do you think the victory over the Wildcats, we could swing the Wade brothers back to UT? And I think they went to UK because one of them wanted to play quarterback. Yes, Destin Wade wanted to play quarterback. He is an athlete. Tennessee wanted Destin Wade to play wide receiver. Keaton Wade is a linebacker. I don't think the win over Kentucky really changes anything. I do not think Josh Heupel wants Destin Wade to play quarterback here. And the fact that Tennessee is only down to two scholarship quarterbacks, the fact that Joe Milton, you know, who knows what his status is regarding next year, Hendon Hooker, you believe will be back, but he continues to soar up draft boards. I don't think any of that changes, in my opinion. I mean, Tennessee is going to go, and you're going to bring in a quarterback in this class. You already have one quarterback commit, obviously, in Taven Jackson. You're going to go to the portal and get at least one, okay? And so I don't think that Destin Wade really files into this. Now, if they want to flip and come to Tennessee and Destin play athlete and play receiver and, of course, Keaton play linebacker, then that's a different story. But I don't think anything changes in terms of the quarterback. Last one here for segment number one, and then we'll get on to segment two and some more of these. After rewatching the game Saturday night and the overwhelmingly terrible linebacker play and lack of overall bodies, how hard will Tennessee be hitting the transfer portal in order to bolster that position group? Yeah, Dallas, hard, in my opinion. You've got to go get some immediate help at linebacker. Jeremy Banks has another year. I mean, all those guys have another year. Aaron Willis is probably that fourth linebacker. You need to get guys ready to play behind him. There's just no depth behind those guys whatsoever. You want to continue to recruit hard, and hopefully a freshman can be, you know, make the two or three deep in the inside linebacker group. But I don't think there's any way around it, man. I think you've got to go and attack the portal. And Tennessee did that by bringing in Juwan Mitchell. He just was in the doghouse and then got hurt, and now he's out for the year. And so if you had Juwan Mitchell in there, at least you have four guys. You got a capable guy that, you know, led Texas in tackles last season, but it just didn't work out. So to answer your question, boy, yes, go and find some more backers in the transfer portal, because right now you have two linebackers, but really they're in the recruiting class, the committed class, but really they're edge players. So, you know, that is a position group that needs bodies and a position group that needs some developments in a hurry. That'll do it here for segment number one. Thank you guys so much for dialing in. We'll continue on segments two and three, more of your Twitter Tuesday questions. But before that, guys, it is Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and if you guys haven't tried it yet, I promise you, I really do believe that you guys are going to love it too. It's the leader in college sports daily fantasy, okay? It offers more college football props than anyone in the world, and it offers a prop on pretty much anything you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. And for you brand new users, when you deposit your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So that's really, really neat, kind of a gift there to get you rolling. All you got to do is pick the 2 to 5 players, the over and under in their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well. You can go college football, NFL football, NFL football, NBA, whatever the case may be. You can use it all on the award-winning app in the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks, it's safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks, it is daily fantasy made easy. Off and rolling here for a Twitter Tuesday, and we've got 20 submission from you guys, so thank you so much. You guys came through my DMs at _Kaner. You replied back to the tweet I sent out. You tweeted at Locked On Vols. You went in the DMs at Locked On Vols. You slid in my Facebook DMs at Kaner On Air. Can't thank you guys enough. Thank you so much, and we'll do it again next Tuesday. Big game coming up against the top-ranked Bulldogs. I went ahead and wrote my first glance piece Monday afternoon for VolQuest.com. When I look ahead at the next opponents, and I break down the stats, the player personnel, and all that, you can check that out at VolQuest.com. I will bring that piece on this podcast probably tomorrow, and we'll get a look at exactly who Georgia is. Of course, we know Georgia, good defense, good enough offense, well-coached, they recruit well, all that type of stuff. But who is Georgia? We will find out likely tomorrow here on Locked On Vols. Let's get back to the Twitter Tuesday questions, and appreciate you for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. How impressive was that 3-play drive before halftime? It was very, very impressive, okay? I have said that that has been the difference in the game. And, of course, at the very end of the ball game, when Tennessee's defense was just horrible all night long, Tennessee got some blitzing and dialed it up there and forced Will Levis into 4 bad throws to end the game. That was huge. And credit the defense for stepping up when it mattered. Alante Taylor's pick 6. I mean, that's 7 points on the board, right? That was huge. Credit Alante Taylor. But the fact that Mark Stoops went for it on 4th down, it backfired. Tennessee got the ball. But really, I mean, no team is going to score with 16 seconds left on your own 39, right? I mean, typically that's not going to be the case. Tennessee gets 8 yards, then 14 yards, then 13 yards. Aldis Edgar-Tillman getting out of bounds, and then that sets up for a 43-yard Chase McGrath kick. Right before the half, I coined it, Tennessee stole 3 points. Tennessee literally stole 3 points. You look at the final score, Tennessee wins by 3. I know that one play doesn't make the difference in a ball game, but that sequence was huge, massive, to answer your question. So I appreciate the question there from Jay. That was probably one of my favorite sequences in the ball game, and it was vital for Tennessee to get that win. We'll move on to Tim Smith. Tim says, will this team have the needed gas left in the tank to go 7-5? Both games after Georgia are winnable, barring major injury. But we don't know how much energy these guys have left after giving their all with so little depth this season. You know, Tim, that's a really, really good point. And when I talk about Tennessee's defense, I continue to say what Tim Banks and that staff on that side of the ball has done all year long has been incredible. I think the defensive line, not great, but I think it's the most improved unit on Tennessee's entire team outside of quarterback. I think it's good, okay? I think it's good enough. I think there's some players on there. I think Matthew Butler made some money this year. I think Caleb Tremblay has been a great addition. I think Tyler Barron and Byron Young have been great additions. I think Juwan Blakely is getting squeezing every little bit of talent. Rodney Garner is out of him. I think those guys have performed well. You guys know my stance on linebackers. They're playing hard, playing three guys, two guys of which probably shouldn't see the field at this level, if I'm being completely honest. And Jeremy Banks has got all the talent in the world, and he's gotten a lot better at playing linebacker, but still lacks a lot of what it takes to play at this level, at least at that position. But, I mean, he's fourth in the SEC in tackles. He's leading Tennessee in tackles. He has turned it around, and if he can keep his head on straight, well, you know, I think the sky's the limit for a guy like him. And then the secondary, though they are very experienced back there, I think they're incredibly slow at safety, just really, really slow at safety. And so, and there's no depth anywhere, right? There's no depth in the set. There's more depth in the secondary now than when you started. There's depth up front. There's no depth in the middle. And so, I get it. And so, when we're talking about Tennessee's defense, I say, you know, the fact that those guys have gotten what they have out of that unit's been incredible, but you're just seeing now the lack of depth. They are so tired. They are getting beat up now towards the late of the season. 3 straight games when Tennessee's just gotten mauled and pushed around. And I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, you got Ole Miss, who's a good team. You got Alabama, who's a great team. You got Kentucky, which is a physical team. And now you got Georgia. This is that gauntlet stretch. So, Tim, I understand what you're saying. But do they have the necessary gas and left in the tank to get to 7-5? Absolutely. Brian Maurer could start at quarterback against South Alabama and Vanderbilt, and Tennessee could come away, you know, winning by 2 scores, in my opinion. So, and I understand Vanderbilt is a part of the SEC. I'm not trying to disrespect that unit, but it just kind of is what it is. So 7-5, 7 wins. Now that you got that win against Kentucky, absolutely 7 wins. I never speak in absolutes, but again, I think that is very, very attainable. But I do see what you're saying, Tim. That is a really, really good point. Let's go to Chris. First time, long time. Appreciate it. What are the 3 reasons the 3 reasons Tennessee will beat Georgia this Saturday? I will hang up and listen. Not going to lie, Chris, I didn't see this one before I went to hit record here, so this is on the spot. I don't think Tennessee beats Georgia. I know, shocker, right? But I will say reason number one, explosive offense. It can create and it can score, you know, in a hurry. And so even when Georgia shuts down the run game, I do think that Tennessee can still create offensively. That would be reason one if I'm making these reasons. Again, I don't think Tennessee's beating Georgia. Reason number two, quarterback play is just simply better. Hendon Hooker is better than Stetson Bennett. Hendon Hooker would be playing better than JT Daniels if JT Daniels was playing in this game. And I think that can go a long way when you have a signal caller in a game like this making the right decisions and making the right plays. So offense can create, number one. Quarterback is better, number two. And number three, I don't know. I will say, I'm trying to think of something defensively, but there's just not a lot that I can go to there. I will say defensive line wise, Tennessee's got a lot of depth that they can rotate in and try to get in that backfield against Georgia. Georgia's offensive line's good. Return 4 starters. They're really solid at the tackle position, though their left tackle did not play last week. We'll have to see about his status moving forward. Georgia's offensive line is good. Tennessee's defensive line, you got bodies. You rotate in there nice and well. I'll say since Tennessee's defensive line is kind of deep, Maybe the fresh guys can get back there and make it hard for Stetson Bennett. So those would be my three reasons. You guys know Georgia's good. We'll continue to go over Georgia. And, I mean, I'm not saying there's no chance. Of course, there's never no chance. I'm just saying Georgia is very good, especially defensively. So we'll talk all week long just about how hard of a challenge it will be. But those would be my three reasons. Number one, Tennessee's offense can create. Number two, Tennessee's far superior at the quarterback position. And number three, Tennessee is deep on the defensive line. Chris, I appreciate it, man. Go Braves, and we will move on. Greg Smith. Any news on Tyon Evans' injury? Where is Lenith Whitehead? Thanks. Lenith Whitehead didn't play the other day. Typically, he's been that next running back that will go in, really, the last couple of games. I don't really know about the status of him. I know he's been banged up. I know that he has not been 100% healthy. We'll have to check on him. Tyon Evans is, Josh Heupel said in the Monday press conference that guys like Jabari Small, Tyon Evans, who didn't finish the game, Jacob Warren, who went down with a minor injury in that ball game. He says that he believes they'll have the opportunity to play. It's a typical answer every single Monday, but he'll have to keep tabs on them as the week goes on. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Tennessee just can't stay healthy at running back whatsoever. I mean, it's incredible how Tennessee cannot have Jabari Small and Tyon Evans playing at the same time, hardly at all, because I think that they are a really, really good, solid 1-2 punch. So that is something that we will have to pay attention to as the week goes on. We'll dive into a couple of the DMs on my side before we finish things up here in segment number three. We'll go to JR. Do you think Tennessee has a legitimate chance at Arch Manning, possibly even Spencer Rattler? Arch Manning, I would say no. Like right now, at a scale of 1 to 10, I put it at 0. That's just kind of where Tennessee stands. It is what it is. Spencer Rattler, I don't know. And we'll have to see. I mean, if Hendon Hooker comes back next year, why would you go out and get Spencer Rattler, in my opinion, right? If Hendon Hooker goes to the draft, which I don't think he will, then absolutely. I mean, I think Spencer Rattler would be looking for a new opportunity, and this offense is very appealing. So I think it all depends on what Hendo Cinco wants to do, right? And again, I expect him to be back, but we'll have to see. But I would say I would favor more Spencer Rattler coming here via the transfer portal than I would Arch Manning coming here as a high school football recruit. A couple more. We will go to Hole in the Roof. Can you shed some light on the status of guys like Morvin Joseph? This is before he went in the portal. So Joseph is in the portal. William Mohan and Aaron Willis. Banks and Beasley really struggled against Kentucky. Actually, he said Kentucky. After playing a night game on the road, where does the defense was on the field for 99 snaps? We're going to need all the hands on deck against a more physical and more talented Georgia team. Yeah, so Morvin Joseph, obviously in the portal. William Mohan, he's there. I mean, he's repping. He's playing inside linebacker, but he's probably in that 2-3 deep, right? Aaron Willis is your fourth linebacker if you need one. And Tennessee does need one, but I think it speaks volumes that he's not played whatsoever because I guess they still think that he's not ready. But Aaron Willis would be that number four linebacker behind Solomon Page. And then after that, I would say it would be William Mohan. William Mohan plays a lot of special teams, which is good. You still have Quaze Garland, who is in there at inside backer. I don't think those guys are anywhere close to playing. And that's why I think if they were close, they'd be playing. Because, again, as you said, Banks, Beasley, Solomon Page, they really, really struggled on Saturday night. I think Beasley, who has made so much progress in terms of being a linebacker at this level, I think the last two ball games against Kentucky and Alabama have been his worst two ball games ever that he's ever played in his entire life. It's just, I'm not trying to harp on him. It's just been very, very bad. So that's the status of guys like that. Simple answer. I don't think that they're ready. And it's kind of bad because, boy, there are snaps out there to take. It's just, you got to trust them, right? You got to trust them. Last one here for this segment, we will go to Tony Gunter. Does the speed of the offense feed into the number of plays the opposition can run? Absolutely. It seems like every team the Vols play are able to run 90-plus plays. That's been the case here the last three games for sure. I'd have to go back to see how many plays teams like South Carolina. Missouri didn't run a whole lot of plays because they were shut out a lot. I'd have to go back and see, Bowling Green, Pittsburgh. I can't remember those off the top of my head. But the last 3 weeks, Ole Miss had 102. Alabama had 92, or 101. Alabama had 92, and Kentucky had 99. And again, Kentucky's an anomaly. I'll love to see what Kentucky does this week because I don't think they will sniff what they did offensively again, right? That's never happened. But because Tennessee goes so fast, you're giving more opportunities, more drives, for yourself and for the other team, okay? Because Tennessee, even when they go 10 plays, 75 yards, they're taking, what, 2 to 3 minutes off the clock when typical teams would take 5 to 6 minutes, or in Kentucky's case, 8 minutes at one point in time in the first quarter. I think also with Kentucky, it's an anomaly because Tennessee, again, scored so quick on those drives. Again, the first two stick out. One play, 75 yards, 11 seconds. That was drive one. I think drive two, Tennessee had the ball. Three plays, 70-some-odd yards, 71 yards, 26 seconds. I mean, those are not your typical scoring drives. Those are explosive plays, and credit Tennessee for going and scoring. I mean, that's awesome, right? But it gives the opportunity back to run more plays to the other team. I mean, those add up throughout the game where you might average somewhere around 9 to 10 drives a game. When you play Tennessee, you might get 12, and so those plays add up. So, yeah, absolutely. The pace of Tennessee's offense, especially when you're scoring on explosives like it has the last couple weeks, and especially against Kentucky, it feeds into the other team getting a lot more chances to run plays. So, good question, Tony, and we will get to the rest of y'all's questions on the other side. But first, guys, BetOnline.ag, it's back better than ever. The new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. You can head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That means if I put in 100, they're going to give me 50. If I put in 300, they're going to give me 150. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. Promo code Locked On. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage on all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, it is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, it's where the game starts. We've reached our final segment here of a Twitter Tuesday, and we are going to go rapid fire. Got a number of questions to get into. Don't want to leave anybody out. Can't thank you guys enough for sending in your questions, your comments, your concerns at underscore Kaner, at Lockdown Vols, and at Kaner on Air. Thank you so much. And most importantly, thank you so much for making Lockdown Vols your first listen every single day. All right, we'll go to Walnuts. Love the name there. I was curious what your thoughts are on Tennessee's time of possession. Do you think our defense improves under Heupel? It will even out, or will it always be this lopsided? Thanks, man. Yeah, I kind of spoke on it earlier, and I spoke on it in the past. It will always be lopsided. You never want it to be as lopsided as it was against Kentucky. But again, it's hard to be critical because Tennessee put up 38 offensive points in 13 minutes of possession time, right? I mean, it's hard to be critical, but that's why it's important to establish the run game and really have the run game kind of help your offense out there that chews up time a little bit. Tennessee, it took a long time to get the run game going in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter. So you never want it to be this lopsided, but Tennessee will never, ever, ever win the time of possession. It's just the nature of the beast. We'll go on to Daniel. Did Kentucky really play that much faster than usual, or did they just have the ball so much more early on since we scored so quickly? I imagine the increase in time of possession they had was above their season average by a long shot, and someone skewed the amount of plays they ran above their average. 61 plays on average, they ran 99 the other night. Just a thought I had when listening this morning. I haven't checked the numbers against that. Yeah, so again, Kentucky, they averaged 26 pass attempts per game. They had that in the third quarter. Will Levis threw it 50 times. Kentucky averaged 61 offensive plays per game. They ran 99. Kentucky averaged, I want to say, around 30 minutes of time of possession per game. They had it for 46 minutes in this game. So again, anomaly. I think that they saw on film where Tennessee is slow at safety, where Tennessee plays a lot of zone in the back end, and they just picked it apart. They obviously saw that Tennessee can't defend a running quarterback, so Levis would roll out a ton. He scored on a rollout. He picked up, I believe, 4 first downs by running on third downs. I think Kentucky just really put in the work, saw the deficiencies from Tennessee, and exploited it. And I also think Kentucky knew that with Tennessee's offense, it had to play Tennessee's game a little bit. Kentucky wasn't going fast tempo, but it was going, not in the first quarter, but third quarter and fourth quarter, they were playing faster, still snapping it with, like, I don't know, 15 to 17 seconds on the clock, which isn't Tennessee fast, but a lot faster than what it normally goes. And so I think Kentucky knew it had to play a little bit of Tennessee's game to have a chance, and well, it certainly did that. My favorite Twitter handle, over underscore throw underscore Joe, chimes in. buy or sell, Tennessee will score the most points on Georgia this season. Yeah, we got that earlier. I will buy. I'm not saying Tennessee will score much more. Again, 13 points twice so far this season, once against South Carolina, the other against Kentucky. That is the most points Georgia has given up all year long. I'll buy that. I think Tennessee is good for at least two scores, so I will buy that. K. Wayne, 1,800. As Tennessee fans, should we be rooting for Florida to fire Dan Mullen? This is a good one. Or have to go through a coaching search change? Or for them to suffer with him another year? Which one would help us more? I mean, you know, we've been talking about this a lot this week, or really since Saturday. I still think Dan Mullen is a good coach. I do. I mean, look what he did the first couple of seasons there at Florida, right? I think he's a good coach, but I think it's evident that he, like Jeremy Pruitt, struggled with this for a little bit. You give your jobs to your buddies and you hang on to them too long. I mean, he just now fired Grantham, which was a long time coming. That should have been done last season, at the end of last season. But it took, what, 9 games into year number 4 for him, 5 for him to do it? I think he's lost the locker room. I really do. You don't get your... Pardon my French. You don't get your ass beat by South Carolina. I mean, you really just don't, right? If you're Florida, you don't get drilled by South Carolina. You just don't. And so it's inexcusable. I think he's lost the locker room. If I were a Tennessee fan, I would want trying to put myself in your shoes. My biggest concern would be Florida would go back out and get Urban. Now, would Urban want to come? I think he would, because I think he's miserable in the NFL. I'm not saying that's a slam dunk, but you know Florida's going to go out and make a good hire, right? So I would say coaching change, but if it's a coaching change that ends up with Urban Meyer, we might want to retrace our steps. I don't know. I mean, it's evident right now that Florida is in shambles, so anything to get Dan Mullen away I think would be good, because I think he's a good coach, but it's all about, you know, who the hire is, and of course we don't know that right now. A couple more. Let's go to Steven Skidmore. Huge win this weekend. So glad the defense could step up when needed. After over 3 quarters of being on the field, I expect the defense to be so tired they give up a lot of yards. And that leads into my Twitter Tuesday question. Now that we have seen the defense perform on different spectrums for a whole game, what can they do to hold Georgia back to keep the game close? Also, can the offense stay on the field long enough to give the defense a little more rest? You hope so. I don't think Tennessee is going to be able to run on Georgia. Georgia is second in the country in giving up just 81 yards per game on the ground, which is, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys that. That's incredible, right? I don't think Tennessee's going to be able to effectively run the football with a traditional running back. I think Hendon Hooker's going to have to be big time in the run game. Defensively, I would say just blitz. I mean, honestly, just blitz, blitz, blitz. Now, is Georgia's offense great? No, it's not great. It's good. You got playmakers around it, but... It's not superb, but in a game like this, I would just bring the house a lot. You know, Stetson Bennett, the mailman, he's done a nice job. But I mean, again, he is not the best quarterback, and they're playing him because he came in and he's played the last 2 years when JT Daniels has been hurt, and he's played good enough to continue being the starting quarterback. But he's not the most talented quarterback in the SEC, not even close, right? So if you can get in his head, force him into bad decisions, I think that's what's going to give Tennessee a chance. So I would blitz, and it's proven that, you know, Tennessee will drop 8 and still give up a 4th-and-24, which is ridiculous, right? Again, that was not a bad call, putting 6 guys at the marker on the 4th-and-24. You got to go and make a tackle. I mean, come on, you know? So I think Tennessee plays better when it blitzes, so that's what I would do. I'd be heavy with the blitzing. I think Tennessee struggles and cover 1 behind it or cover 0 behind it, because I think safety play is slow. I think McCullough and Trayvon Flowers are slow, and I think that hurts Tennessee, so they don't blitz as much as they could. But in a game like this, man, I throw the kitchen sink at him. I blitz a whole lot. So that's what I would say, Steven. I appreciate you chiming in. A couple more here. Eric, with Evans being unable to stay healthy, do you see them possibly shutting him down completely for the remainder of the season in hopes that he's at 100% for the bowl game? If they end up playing a Penn State or Iowa, they could definitely use him. Oh, yeah. I mean, Tennessee could use him in any game. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but unless you're playing in a college football playoff game, unless you're playing the New Year, really not even a New Year 6 game anymore, right? Bowl games, I'm not saying they don't matter, but it's not like you're holding anybody out with hopes of getting back for the playoff run, right? I mean, it's just a bowl game. And so, absolutely not. If Tyon Evans can play, they're going to play him. He's your best offensive player, in my opinion. So if he can play, Tennessee will play him without a doubt. Last one. Nope, just kidding. We got a couple more after this. We got always the Volan. I like that. Not villain, Vollen. Twitter Tuesday. Tennessee has been getting votes for the AP poll and on and off throughout the season, considering what being a ranked team does to a team's mindset, the opposing team's mindset when playing a ranked team, and the fan base's expectations. Do you think Tennessee deserves a ranking, and would it hurt them throughout the rest of the season? It wouldn't hurt them. I don't think they deserve it right now, to be completely frank with you. Tennessee's beaten one ranked team this year. That was Kentucky, who's no longer ranked. Tennessee got on the scoreboard, final score. Tennessee got drilled by Florida. Tennessee got drilled by Alabama. Tennessee lost a close one to Ole Miss. We'll have to see what happens against Georgia. Pittsburgh's a good team. Pittsburgh's a ranked team. Tennessee lost to Pittsburgh by a touchdown. So I don't think Tennessee has a case to be a ranked team right now. But, I mean, I don't think it would hurt them if Tennessee was ranked. Tennessee's one of the more entertaining teams in college football. So, you know, I'm not expecting a win this Saturday. And even if you win the last two games in convincing fashion and finish 7-5, I still don't think Tennessee would be ranked in the final AP poll of this year. All right, literally two more. Trevor, we got Trevor here in the DM. Saturday was a huge win in Lexington, and it looks like Tennessee has some good momentum. However, it would be silly not to consider Tennessee back. It would be silly to consider Tennessee back. What do you think it'll take to consider back and a contender in the SEC? Yeah, Tennessee's not back. A win over Kentucky, you're not going to say Tennessee is back. Tennessee is back when you're consistently winning, and I say this like, you know, a couple of season span. You know, say Tennessee next year finishes with at least eight to nine regular season wins, and you beat Florida. Tennessee's back, in my opinion. You know, say you beat Florida, you're competitive against Georgia, competitive against Alabama, you win one of the big three. You win 8 to 9 games. I think Tennessee's back, and you do it in convincing fashion. I would say back because technically you're in the conversation for an SEC East championship, right? But until you start beating the big three, Tennessee's played with the big three a couple times over the last couple years. Tennessee was in it with the fourth quarter of Alabama. Tennessee jumped out to a lead in the Swamp this year. We'll see about Tennessee was leading at halftime against Georgia. Then it all went south last year. We'll see what happens this weekend. Until you beat one of the big three, I don't consider Tennessee back. And then some really unique and some consistency there as well. But 8 to 9 wins in the regular season with, you know, beating the big three, not every year, but beating the big three, and you're in that conversation to win the East every single year, in my opinion, that would mean Tennessee is back in the conversation of actually being relevant. Okay, last one, Andrew. Andrew chimes in, and this was on a Sunday morning. People hating on the shotgun victory formation. I know you're not a fan of it either, but they snapped it all game in shotgun, so I don't mind it. Cincinnati almost lost a game against Tulsa because of the mishandled snap under center. Your thoughts? Yeah, I think this is so overblown. It's victory formation. It's the best play in all of football, right? You don't want to screw it up, I understand. So Tennessee goes in shotgun every single snap of every single game, right? So do it out of shotgun. Victory formation, it's actually safer. You have a chance to fall on the football, so it's actually safer, in my opinion. You know, for all the years of football, you've always gone under center for victory formation, so I understand why it looks weird, but it is what it is. It's safer, in my opinion. Now, as far as the going under center and stuff, you're a Power 5 football team. You play in the SEC. I don't care if you snap it 89 times at a shotgun in a game on offense. If you need to go under center for that 90th play to get 4th and inches against a team like, I don't know, maybe Pittsburgh, go take a snap under center. You should be able to do that. You need to rep it every single day in practice to be ready for that opportunity. It's just, you're playing football at this level. There's no excuse not to be able to take a snap under center. So that's more of my argument there. But I had no issue with Tennessee going victory formation and shotgun. Who cares? It's victory formation. They got it. They took a knee, 3 straight knees. They won the football game. I think it's silly how people are getting upset over that. But hey, that's just me. That's just me. Also, in case you're wondering, Tennessee has taken one snap under center all year long. That was a touchdown run to Lenith Whitehead against South Carolina, I believe, on the goal line. Guys, Twitter Tuesday, a great success this week. We had 21. I had one more chime in while I was recording. 21 questions that we got to. We spanned 3 segments. Thank you so much for doing it this week. Let's do it again next week at _Caner and at @LockedOnVols. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Now, make Locked On SEC your second listen 5 days a week all the information, the news on the SEC that you need with host Chris Gordy at Sports 790. That's Locked On SEC. Make that your second listen right now and each and every day after Locked On Vols. Tomorrow we will chat with Josh Ward. We'll do a little Ward Wednesday, and we will break down a Tennessee victory on the hardwood most likely, as well as we'll take a look at Georgia. All that to come here on a Locked On Vols. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.